I'm excited about today's message. I always tell you this, I wrestle all week long with different sermons and what I feel like the Lord has given me to preach. And I was actually going to preach a message called Reach today, but we're not going to do that today. What we're going to preach on, we're going to preach this one called Run for Your Life, because I felt like the Lord told me that coming into this week that there were going to be some in here this week that are ready to go after everything that God has for them. And what God has for you is obtainable. But what you've got to understand, there's a part for you to play in it. And the thing about it is, it's your destiny. It is your destiny. You were born for it. You were capable to do it. You were created for that very purpose. Now, it's not up to God. God has done the work. The Bible says He has formed you in your mother's womb. He put gifts and talents. He put abilities. He put things that everything you need to accomplish your destiny and the will of God for you. It's already, God has done your part or His part. The truth is, God is waiting on you to do yours. And so what we're about to do is we're going to tackle the thought pattern of running today, because we've got to get the mentality. You've got to run for your life. It's not just going to happen. It's not just, you're just, you know, I know in Isaiah 40, it says this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings as eagles. They shall walk and not go weary. They shall run and not faint. Now, a lot of times, a lot of Christians, we take that scripture and we say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Now, you miss the purpose of that scripture. The purpose of that scripture, if you think waiting on the Lord is what you're to be doing today, that is not the purpose of that scripture. That purpose of the scripture is this, tells you what you need to do to be able to run. Because that scripture finalizes with run and not grow weary. You need to understand the power of run. You know, running is a powerful ability that you have. It is one of those things that changes how far you can travel, how fast you can travel. Did you know that you can go through more things when you're running than you can when you're walking? Take, for example, when policemen come up to a door and bust a door down, they use a battering ram. But you ever seen one of those movies where a guy, they're trapped in a house and they're trying to get out of that house, and maybe the house is burning down and the door's locked and they can't get through it? You don't see them walk up to that door and just stand there and wait, being, well, I'm going to wait for the Lord to open this door, because when the Lord opens this door, we're going to get out. That's not in those movies what they do. They don't walk right over to the door and put their shoulder on it and press and get very far in that either. But them guys, they get back, rear back, and run full force, throw everything they got into what's hindering them or standing in their way. They blow right through it. The ability to run will allow you to go through more things than you could ever go through when you walk, when you wait, when you sit. Now, that scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord, you need to understand something. That word, actually, wait upon the Lord, comes out of a word meaning expectantly waiting. Expectantly. Sitting somewhere with an expectancy. Because when you're sitting somewhere with an expectancy, that means you're not planning on sitting there long. You know something's about to take place where you're going to be able to get up and go forward. And so when it says, wait, they that wait upon the Lord, what that says is you need to go to where God is and you need to expect God to do something while He's there. So that when you come out of here, you get up and you walk out, you have the ability to walk and not faint, or walk and not grow weary, and run and not faint. You came in here today expecting God to do something. How many expecting God to do something in your life today? Well, good. I'm going to ask you this. When you come out of here, you may have walked in here, but I'm expecting you to run out of here today and do something mightily in your life. And I'm expecting God to empower you to do it. So we're going to jump into the idea of run for your life. When you run, you will accomplish twice as much distance as you would ever walking. I know, you know what I'm saying, when I'm working on a job and I'm not working by the hour, but I'm working by the job. If you're a construction worker or a contractor in any way, you know, you work different when you're working by the hour or when you're working by the job. And I found this as a contracting business side of it too. When I hire people by the hour, or I hire them by the job, it's amazing how fast a job can get done when you pay differently. You pay somebody by the hour, and I've been paid by the hour many jobs in my life. It does change the expectancy of the way I work. I can usually go on a job and tell who's being paid by the hour. Those that are being paid by the hour, they're sitting around with their arms crossed a lot of times when they could actually be doing something. Or when they need a task to be accomplished, they'll drag their feet and walk real slow. But I've worked with guys that understand the power of getting paid by the job. In other words, they're going to make a certain amount of money no matter how long it takes them, whether it's a little time or a lot of time. And I've seen them guys, man, you can't even walk beside them without running, because everything they do, they move quickly, fast, because they know the value of my time has just very much increased by the effort or the energy I put into it. So what I've tried to do now, like building and hiring things, I try to find people that want to work by the job. When they work by the job, then people want to get it done quickly. I want you to know something. You're not working by the hour for the Lord. And God is not paying you by the hour. God created you for a destiny, a job. Now, it's up to you. David understood that. That's why he said, Lord, teach me to number my days. He knew this. He knew there was only a certain amount of days he was going to be able to accomplish what God had called him to accomplish. In the book of Psalms, it says this, we're promised 70 years, and anything above that is a promise. So he knew, he had pinned that. He knew he had 70 years to get everything that he had been put on this earth to accomplish. And the truth of the matter is that if he would have walked a lot of times in his life, he wouldn't accomplish them. God has called you to be a runner. Let's go real quick to Hebrews, Joe. We're going to jump into our text. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to talk about run for your life. You know, success is never accidental. There's never a race won by accident. You never accomplish great things accidentally. It always takes doing it on purpose and doing it with passion. You know, that's really what running is. Running is your walk with passion. And you say, well, Cricket, you know what? Explain that a little bit better. Well, there's a story that talks about these two guys that were hunting up in Alaska. And they were walking up the trail, just meandering and talking and, you know, looking around. They wasn't paying much attention. And they walked by a grizzly bear standing over in the side of the woods. And when they walked by, they realized that they both jumped up, took off running, and the big bear started chasing after them. And one of them looked at the other and said, yo, run, run, we got to outrun this thing. Hurry, get to climb that tree, run, run, run. The other one looked at the other guy and said, you know, I don't got to worry about outrunning that bear. I just got to worry about outrunning you. Because if I can outrun you, I'm going to be okay. The idea in life is God put us here to live every day to its fullest. Every day to its fullest. And if you're letting the day wag the tail, instead of you taking control of your day, you're missing out on so many great things that God has for you. The Bible says, it says that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, a lot of times we see people run when they get scared. We see people run when they get in need. We see people run when they get in uncomfortable situations. But God wants to see us run every day. He never creates anything without purpose. Never. Just like you were created with purpose. God never creates anything without purpose. And so if he created today, guess what he has today for? There's a purpose in it. He says, this is the day the Lord has made. Has he made it? You've got a purpose today. Most of us don't realize that there's a purpose in every day. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Meaning every day I get up, there is a purpose because he's made it. And he's got good things planned for me every single day, whether I deserve them or not. His plans for my days are important. And how many days do I waste? Man, I waste so many days. And what I'm praying today is that God would put his power of his spirit upon some of us in here today. That desire to be able to accomplish more, do more, and be used by God in a greater level. And he put a power of run upon us. Because God has a whole life out there for you. We talked about this several weeks ago. He says, I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Meaning he's come and he gave you life, but then he takes it to another level. He wants you to have more in life than you have right now. He wants you to do more in life than you're doing right now. He wants you to have so, he wants it abundantly in your life. The thing about it is most of us don't understand we need to run for it. We need to run for our lives. And so we're going to challenge that today in just a couple few thoughts. Here in Hebrews chapter 12, it's written, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, that word cloud there, it's not crowd. Even though you think it's crowd, you know, it's cloud. And this is in the Greek. Greek words are usually drawn with pictures. And this is a picture of an amphitheater in heaven. And those that have gone before us aren't just floating on clouds playing little harps. Those that have gone before us to heaven, they've accomplished the destiny for their life. And you say, well, Craig, how do you know if somebody's accomplished the destiny for their life if they're in heaven? I want to let you know that if somebody makes it to heaven, they've accomplished the destiny for their life because of this reason. God created Adam and Eve at the very beginning for fellowship. But there's a lot of things God would like done for him on this earth by you before you get there. And the Bible says there's a whole crowd. Actually, it says cloud, but it's a picture of an amphitheater in heaven. And full of those that have gone before us watching our every move. And this is what it says. It says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run. Everybody say, run. Let us run. Now, I'll go on and read the rest of the text, but that's where I'm wanting to focus in on here this morning, is that let us run. It says, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Every one of us has a race that is set before us, and it is we are supposed to run that race. Now, I'm going to jump on a couple different things and let you understand something. The reason for running, the reason why you need to get a spirit of running, because it gets God's attention. This isn't in your notes, Joe, but would you go to Mark chapter 6, verse 33? I want to show you what runners get. Man, people that choose to run, they get things that other people don't get. They get God's attention in ways that other people don't get his attention. It says this, but the multitude saw them departing, and they knew him, capital H, Jesus, and ran therefore on foot from all the cities. All right, they saw him, and it says these guys ran. And then it says, they arrived before him and came together to him. Now, saying that you can outrun the timing of God. People that run can outrun the timing of God, and that's a good thing. Do you remember when Jesus was at the wedding? We talked about it last week. And he said, Mary came to him and said, turn this water into wine. He said, don't you, woman, don't you know it's not my time? But he had done run ahead of his time. And even when you get in ahead of your time, you can do things that you maybe weren't supposed to do or maybe gifted to do, but you can do them because they're available. God has got it available for you to do. That scripture there we talked about last week says, and thus was the beginning of Jesus' miracles. He did it before his time. Here, these people said this. It says, they ran and they got ahead of him. That's very important. If they would have walked, they would have missed it. There's a lot of times we come into church or we come into life and we come in with this thing. I'm just walking by faith. Well, then you need to start running by faith. Because running is the same thing as walking, but you do it with passion and you do it at a better pace. Well, Cricket, I'm going to do that for God. I'm just waiting. No, don't wait anymore. Start doing it for God. It said that, but look what it says. It said they arrived before him and came together. Now, this is the people that ran. They ran because they saw him. They knew where he was going and they ran to where he was going. Let's go to the next scripture. Verse 34. Let me show you what runners get. You need to know. And Jesus, when he came out, saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. Runners get God's attention. Runners get God to move. Runners get God to do things that walkers do not get. Those that showed up late, they miss out on what God has for them. I'm telling you, why is it important to be on time? I never understood this for a long period of time. Me, before I was married, and before Jennifer, God put Jennifer with as a stable part of my life, I was late everywhere I went. And the truth of the matter, I was late to church, I was late to school, I was late to work. I would say, fashionable people show up late. No, people that show up late miss out a lot of times on what God has for them. Because if you're showing up late, you're telling me this wasn't the most important thing in your life going on right now. And I got to be honest with you, why come to church if it's not the most important? You getting in the presence of God is not the most important thing to come for. I don't want to miss a second of it at work. I mean, if you're going to go to work, get there on time. Run. Don't speed, but run. We're going to talk about running today, running for your life. I'm going to hit three major topics in the idea of running. Running gets God's attention and running gets God to move. And God's calling for some of us today to put a demand on His Spirit to come upon us, to put a spirit of running on us. We're going to go real quick to John chapter 20. I want to read a couple of scriptures here. Joe, will you start John chapter 20 verse 1? We'll start. I put 20 verse 3 on there, but we'll start, Joe, John chapter 20 verse 1. It says, "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went out to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb." All right, go ahead. We're going to read down to about 6. You still with me? Okay, and then she ran. Everybody say, she ran. "And came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.'" Go again to the next one. It says, Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. Let's go to another one. "So they both ran." Everybody say, ran. "Together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first." I want you to understand something. Running is important to God. What happened in this story here, the Bible says that Jesus had been buried in his tomb. He said, "In 3 days, I'm going to come again. I'm going to rise again. I'm going to rise from the dead. The Bible says Mary Magdalene, they got up to go anoint the body at the tomb. When they got to the tomb, the Bible says the stone was rolled away and his body was not there. And Mary had just realized something. Jesus had kept his word. Everybody say, Jesus keeps his word. And the Bible says this, when she realized that Jesus keeps his word, she jumped up and she started running. She ran to where the other disciples were. Now, what you got to understand is this. The disciples had moved into a place of life. Why were they not there that morning? Why were they not expecting Jesus to get out of the grave? It was the third day. They all knew it was the third day. They knew what the calendar said. They knew he was buried and he said, "I'm going to come again on there." Why did they not come that morning? That's the odd part for me. They were the closest to him. They knew him more than anybody else. Why were they not there? Because the truth of the matter is they had done allowed circumstances, situations, attitudes, feelings, and emotions to affect their walk. I'm sure that morning they were still pouting, moping, and, you know, feeling sorry for themselves of what they had went through. You know, nobody liked them anymore. Nobody believed them anymore. They done lost their best friend. They didn't have a direction or purpose. And the Bible says this, when Jesus died, they went back to doing what they had always done. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. Mary saw it and she ran back to them. I'm so glad. Spiritually speaking, this is what you need to understand. There's a lot of us that come and get touched by God, have a relationship with God, get moved by God. But when we get to a place where we can't see God doing what He's always done or being as close as we've always thought He would be, a lot of times, a lot of us go back into doing what we've always done the way we've always done it. But the Bible says this, when Mary showed up and told them that Jesus was doing something, just keep music playing. I don't know what's going on with our sound, but just keep our music playing. But the Bible says that while that was going on, he went and she told Peter. And the Bible says John, because it was the other disciple, but I love it this time because it called him the other disciple. It didn't necessarily, it said the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which theologians believe that was speaking to and about John, because John was the beloved. But I love it because it said the other disciple. That tells me, using the other disciple, when you were born and you encountered a relationship with God, you are no longer just a person. You become several things. One, you become a child of God. Number two, you become an heir to the throne. But then number three, you're supposed to become a Christ follower, which is a disciple. And I love it when I read this scripture because it says Peter, which we expect Peter to run. A lot of people come to church and get a part of church, and we expect the ushers to be running. We expect the singers to be running. We expect the pastors to be running. But I love it where it said the other disciple was running too. And I love it what it says about this. The other disciple had the ability to outrun those that you expect to run in the first place. So this just ain't for people in the ministry. There is a spirit that the Lord can put on you of running. That when the Spirit, Lord puts His Spirit upon you, and I'm going to show it to you in just a few minutes, that it will enable you to run. And when you run, we just saw in the Scripture, it says it gets God's attention. It gets God to move. And so it also releases your destiny. It also causes things in the spiritual world as you make movements forward to begin to move out of your way. Here it says that they ran back to you. See, there's some people in here this morning, I felt like the Lord told me that this was going to take place. There were some people in here this morning that had known Jesus very intently and very close and very intimately. But because the way life has been going and because the way you've been, you know, things you've been going through, things, what's happened is you couldn't see Jesus the way you maybe saw Him before. You don't feel like He's as close. What's happened is you've lost your momentum. You've lost your passion, or you've lost your run. And if you're here this morning, I'm here to tell you, you can run back to Jesus. And if you will begin to run back to Jesus, you need to understand the book of Luke. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, it says that when the prodigal son, and I'm not calling anybody in here prodigal son, I'm not calling these disciples sinner. What I'm saying is, the Bible says the prodigal son, it says when he realized where he was and what he was doing, it says he came to himself, it says he stood up and he started going back toward the father's house. And as he got close to the father's house, not even close, the Bible says the father saw him a long way off. And it says this in the book of Luke chapter 15. It says, when the father saw him a long way off, it says, the father began to run. I'm here to tell somebody in here this morning that are like these disciples. You found yourself being and feeling and doing what you've always been, felt, and done like you've done before. You went back to being who you were before you had this encounter with the Lord. You went back to thinking and feeling and processing the way you used to be. I'm here to tell you this. If you will take it to make the decision this morning to run toward Jesus and where you know He is, then what will happen is this. The Bible says the Father began to run after Him. You don't have to run the whole way. Jesus is going, God will run right to where He's a runner. People say, well, what is God? You know, I'm just waiting on God. No, you need to understand, God's running. He's waiting on you. When you take a turn back toward Him, He's standing on that. He takes back off towards you. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Paul said this, that I pursue the one that pursued me. Meaning Jesus was already pursuing you before you even knew He was pursuing you. So what He's saying is, I'm going to run like God runs. You need to run. Get passionate about getting back to the place where you've been before. Get past, the Bible says in the book of Revelations that there were these churches, and the one thing one church had said they'd done everything right except they'd lost their first love. They'd lost their passion. They lost their desire. They lost their run. When you lose your run, you lose the blessings, the ability, you lose what God has for you. Because when you run, it gets God's attention. You need to understand something. God has equipped you with the ability to run. You may be in here this morning, you say, Cricket, I wasn't built to run. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says there was a man that was lame. And when he was born lame, it says that he was sitting there and he looked at the disciples and he said, give me some gold. He said, he looked at them expecting. He looked at them expecting to get something. They said, silver and gold have one. Now you understand, these guys weren't broke. We think that they were broke. You need to know, when they said silver and gold have we not, they weren't broke. I mean, there were times they knew they could walk out. They had ultimate faith. They had done, seen things happen that no one else had seen. They had, when they were gotten broke at one point, they walked up and took fish out of money out of a fish's mouth. When they said silver and gold have we none, no, these guys weren't broke. What these guys knew was silver and gold ain't going to fix what you got going on here. What's going to fix what you got going on here is us giving you what we've been given. We have been given the ability to stand and run. Now see, they missed it a little bit. They set their expectations low. The disciples said, rise up and walk. But that's not what that guy did. The Bible says he jumped up, he went running and leaping and praising God. I want you to know something. You have the ability, no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what cripple or situation you may carry in your life, you have the ability to run. It brings me to this funny video that Joe's going to play just for a second. A lot of us Christians bring ourselves to this mentality. We think, well, that's just not my personality. That's not who I am to get passionate and to get excited about things. I want you to know something. Every one of you were built to run. And this little right here gives us kind of an idea of that, Joe. Play my bill. You got it? Can we start back over? Click it for us again. What I love about that snail is this. The very understanding that snails are here lets you know they have the desire to run. Do you know that you may be slower than other people? You may take longer to do things than other people. You may not be as gifted as other people. But do you know what? Snails made it on the ark too. They may have had to take twice as long to get there, but they decided that we're going there. They weren't going to be left out. Didn't matter what their abilities were. Didn't matter what. That's why it says run and run with endurance. You say, well, Cricket, I wish I was gifted like Leah. I wish I was gifted like what I know I can do. You need to understand something. You are gifted to do everything you need to accomplish your destiny is in you. If you would decide to pick your feet up one after another and begin to take steps toward it, there's nothing that could happen to keep you from it. The thing about it is this. How fast or how bad do you want it? The Bible says this. The Bible says that in Genesis 39, the Bible says that we are supposed to run from certain things. Now see, Peter and John, the disciples, they had went back to doing what they were always doing. They went back doing and being what they had always been. But they decided, you know what? When they heard that Jesus was somewhere, they said, I'm going to run to him. And they ran. And that changed everything. What would have happened to us if they would have stayed fishermen? What would happen? Now, in Genesis 39, verse 12, it says this. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled, and he got him out. You, some of us in here this morning, maybe haven't become what we've always been. Some of us in here this morning need to become something that we've never been before. The Bible said that we are supposed to run. Now, the disciples needed to get the spirit of pursuit to find God. There's some of us that don't make it to our destiny because we don't realize the very thing that we're hanging out with, the very thing that we're living with, or the very thing we're allowing to put its hands on us is keeping us from being our destiny. The Bible says Joseph had such a great destiny on his life. Let me tell you how you know whether or not you got a destiny on your life. How many of you guys can remember back to when you had a dream that you realized when you were younger or as you were saved that God wanted to use you to do great things? How many of you guys can remember that feeling? Can you remember back that God, you know, you dreamed of doing amazing, mighty things for God? Do you remember? If you can remember back there, you have a destiny on your life. Obviously, God gives you the desires of your heart. If you can remember a time you wanted to, you know there's something in you that you can do great things for God, then you have a destiny attached to your life. He gives you the desires of your heart. Joseph, the Bible said, had a destiny attached to his life. He had a dream. He knew God wanted to use it to do him great things. You need to understand something. Joseph was a great runner. And if you're not going to be a great runner, what's going to happen is your destiny will be stolen from you. The Bible says Joseph was going after what God had called him to go after the best way he could. He'd done been through hell and high water, and things didn't look good. But he decided, you know what? I don't care what circumstances are. I'm going to keep the spirit of the runner in me. Because I will not accomplish it unless I do. And the Bible says that the enemy laid a trap for him. There's some of us in here this morning that maybe we've not slid back into what we've always been. But there's some of us that have just always been, and we think we can go forward without having change in our life. And the Bible says Joseph one day was working as a slave in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife came up to him and said this. Said, I want you to lie with me. And he didn't bat an eye. There's some of us in here this morning that we are not able to accomplish our destiny. We are not, and I want you to know something. You're not going to be able to accomplish your destiny. How many of you guys remember watching the movie Jaws? Man, Jaws changed my life. Because I saw it when I was about 10 or 11. And when I saw the movie Jaws, and I saw it when I was about 10 or 11, it paralyzed me with fear when I was watching it, even though they blew him up at the end. Because from that point on, every time I went swimming, It didn't matter if it was in a swimming pool or if it was in the lake or a river. Every time I got in water and I started swimming, I got a little out deep, panic would hit me. And I would remember that shark grabbing them people at the very beginning. How many of you guys, did that happen to you the same way? You remember, you know exactly what feeling I'm talking about then. When you got in that water, maybe you were swimming, when you realized you were alone, all of a sudden, fear would hit, and you would swim harder and faster than you've ever swam before. Another movie did that to me was, y'all remember them movies that was The Mark of the Beast and Distant Thunder? Y'all remember them movies? Where they were done in the 70s. Anybody remember those old church movies about the Lord coming back? Mom and Dad played them for us at school when I was a kid. And I want you to know something. Scared the hell out of me. And that is the absolute truth. You don't know how many times when I would come home when I was a teenager and wasn't living right. And no, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing. Walk in the house and I'd holler, "Hey, Mom." And if I didn't get an answer, panic hit me from the top of my head. The Lord came back. The Lord came back. And I got left. I'd run, grab the phone. I'd call the church. See if because I knew if Mom or Dad would answer phone anywhere, then the Lord hadn't come back and I was all right. And I was still at time. But that movie Jaws, you've got to understand there's some of you that your destiny is of such great importance to the kingdom of God and God's plan that the enemy has laid the biggest snares, the greatest traps, and the largest predators he can release after you. You can look at it through the Bible. When Jesus was born, when he was just an infant, just two, the Bible says that the enemy laid it upon the king's heart to kill all the babies. And his daddy took him and they ran to Egypt. The Bible says when Moses was just a child, the enemy laid a plan. His mama took him and put him in a river to get him out of there. Some of you in here this morning need to take on the spirit of running. Because what's happened is this. The enemy has laid a trap or a snare in your place. He knows what your destiny is. You may not even realize it, but he knows what your destiny is. And because he knows what your destiny is, he has laid traps and snares in your way. And there's going to be attacks come against you. The enemy is chasing you. The Bible actually says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You know, if you ever watched a cat pounce or whatever, what they do is they sneak up under the grass. They sneak up under the grass. And if them animals can take off running fast enough, that cat don't have a chance. Because they can only run fast for a few minutes. But if them animals just wait around a little too long, then that cat can jump on them. What's taken place in a lot of our lives is this. Our destiny's not been able to be reached because we take too long in hesitation. You need to understand something. The psychology of your mind has 5 minutes to make a decision before it gives in to either fear or temptation. 5 seconds. You have 5 seconds before fear will make the decision for you or temptation will make the decision for you. Joseph understood this and he didn't even live in the day we lived. He knew the minute that enemy put his hand on his shoulder, he knew my feet need to be running in the opposite direction. There's some of us in here today, you need to know this because you've got a willing heart to do great things for God. But you need to understand something. That sin that we just read about in Hebrews says that sin that so easily besets us, every single person has a one thing. Now, there's like you say, Cricket, I got a lot of things. Me too. But I got a lot of issues in me. But right now, God's wanting to deal with one thing. And that one thing that so easily besets you, that one thing that's been holding you back, that one thing, what you're going to have to decide is the next time that one thing shows its hand up and puts his hand on your shoulder and says, this is going to be okay, you better take off running. Because if you hesitate, you need to understand, if you hesitate, you give it another thought, you give it a second, you give it another glance, what's going to take place is this. It's going to hold you in that situation longer. You know, he never would have quit being a slave had he not have taken off running that day. He would have died a slave. I want you to know something. If you don't learn to run, you're going to die a slave to whatever it is that's been holding you back your whole time. You've got to decide whether it's drinking, whether it's drugs, whether it's pornography, whether it's relationships, whether it's anger. If you don't make the decision, the minute you feel or see that temptation come, you don't take off running the other way, that thing's going to keep you a slave the rest of your life. And you will not accomplish the destiny that God has for you. See, the devil wanted him to stay a slave. If he would have slept with that lady that day, that lady would have never let her husband get rid of him. He'd have stayed in that house a slave forever. But see, he was willing to run. You say, well, he ran right into prison. I want you to know something. The prison was what got him the promotion. You know, everybody else may be talking like that at work. You better run. Well, they won't like me anymore. Oh, well, that prison may bring you promotion. you don't understand cricket. They're going to think that I do understand something. If we'll get a spirit of running on, you'll run from it. You don't got to explain it. You don't got to rationalize it. You just need to know, and you know. You know what it is. You don't have to. I don't have to bring it out or mention it. You know what your one thing is. And you know that one thing's been holding you back. You can usually tell what that one thing is every time you get close to the Lord, it's the first thing you start your prayer off with. God, I ask you to forgive me for this. That's how you know you need to run from that thing. And when that hand goes on your shoulder, it'll be all right. You can do it. You better run. Because if you'll run for your life, God will give you a life more abundant than you could ever think or imagine. We're going to go to this. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7. Joe, that's not on your notes. Will you bring that up? Galatians 5:7 says this. Well, give me a second. Joe, I put notes in here this morning that I didn't give you. Galatians 5:7 says, you ran well. Meaning that there were people that could run. I mean, I want you to know something. You can be running, serving the Lord well. But when you allow things to be in your life that shouldn't be there, you know shouldn't be there, God's already asked you to lay down, to set aside that sin that so easily besets you, that hand that goes on your shoulder, that thing that's wanting to keep you in slavery. It says, you run well, but who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is it that's not been allowing the destiny of God to be released into your life? Because until you make a decision, you say, well, Cricket, how do I run from it? You do whatever it takes to get as far. You either turn the Wi-Fi off at your house. You do not hang out with people that do it. You get to a place where it's not available to you. You run however you got to run. You don't answer their calls. You don't answer their texts. You don't go back in that room. You do whatever it takes, run. Because if you will run, there's nothing that can stop the destiny of God from your life. Let's go on down to the next one, Joe. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. There's another thing that the enemy tries to keep people from running from because it feels good. We say, well, Cricket, that was sin. No, this feels better than sin because more people participate in this. As a matter of fact, more Christians participate in this than anyone else. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18. It says, now David ran away from Saul and came to Samuel at Rahamah. Now, when you get into reading in the story and all this kind of stuff, what happens is you find out is this. Saul was a very jealous man, very fearful man. He had gotten into some mess and he lost the anointing. And what the bulk of it is, he became jealous of this guy. That God had the Bible says, had a heart after God. And so Saul began to do everything he could do to hurt him. Do everything he could do for him. But David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. He chased God. He sought for God's presence. And he made a decision to this. I'm not going to allow offense to affect my destiny. And the Bible said this. When Saul tried to hurt him and bother him and offend him, the Bible says David would run. I want you to understand some of us aren't accomplishing what God has for us because we allow ourselves to stay in offense. If you stay offended, if you stay hurt, if you stay angry, if you stay bitter, it affects your run for God. And I know this about David's life because David had the opportunity two different times to kill Saul. And David didn't because he said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointing. And did Saul deserve to be killed? Absolutely. It would have been tried in today's court as self-defense. But he didn't do it because he knew, I'm not going to allow offense to make decisions or determine what it is I do and what it is my future will be. There's some of us in here this morning that need to run from offense. There's been things that have been said. There are things that have been done. There are things that have been hurt in your life. And the truth of the matter is, yes, they are true. Yes, they did happen. And yes, they do hurt. You need to decide, I'm going to run from these things. I'm not going to allow myself to sit in offense. I'm not going to allow myself to sit bitter. And you say, well, how do I get away from them? What you do is you run Samuel. Hear the Bible say he ran from Saul and ran to Samuel. Samuel was the closest thing to God those people could get to in those days. It was the man that stood before God and would give the word of God. The Bible says David ran from Saul, ran from offense, and ran to God. I understand something. When people hurt you, it hurts. And when people abuse you, it hurts. And when people do things, it hurts. What you have got to do, you've got to decide, I'm going to run from that. And the only way I know to run from that, I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to run to God. And I'm going to give it to Him. Because this is what the Bible says. In 1 Peter 2:20, it says this. It says, when they raveled against Him, He reveled not. When they beat Him and they hurt Him, He didn't hit back. It says, when they spoke evil words about Him, He would not speak evil words about them. But He entrusted it unto God, who judges justly. And then it says this, for by His stripes you are healed, or they were healed. In other words, this, yes, it hurts. Run to God. Give it to God. Cast your cares on God. Don't go out telling everybody else about it. Don't go out sharing it with everybody you can. That's what makes us feel better. But when you take your offense and you run it to God and you give it to God and you tell God all about it, the Bible says this, then He at that point can release His ministering angel into your life, and by His stripes you will be healed. If you don't, if you just keep a hold to these offenses, you're going to walk around hurt. And you will not run. Next thing is this. Next thing we have to run for, you got to run for your destiny. You got to run for that destiny. It don't just happen. A lot of us think, you know, if I can just keep going to church or keep paying my tithes or keep serving the Lord long enough. No. No, you need to keep doing those things, but you need to do them things with expectancy and faith. Now, the Bible says faith without works is dead. In other words, if all you're doing for the Lord is coming to church, and all you're doing for the Lord is paying your tithes, and all you're doing for, those are good, but it won't be your destiny. You've got to do something else. The way you run for your destiny is this. You start looking for opportunity to do something great and bigger than you for God. Let me show it to you in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, this is probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible. We're not going to read the whole thing. Joe, you're going to bounce all over the place because I'm going to burn through this chapter quickly. We'll just highlight a couple scriptures here. But this is the story of David and Goliath. Now, I do not get time this morning to get into what it takes to be a runner. But out of this chapter, there are seven things that it takes to be a runner. And if you're going to run and you're going to be a champion, if you're going to reach your destiny, you've got to know these seven things. And I'm going to preach on them Wednesday night. We don't have time to do it this morning, but I need to preach this principle this morning. It says the Bible here in verse 17, it says this. It says, and the Philistines came up and came up against the children of Israel, and they camped on this side of the hill, and the children of Israel camped up on this side of the hill, and they were going to have a big battle. And the Bible says what happened was the Philistines took their champion and sent him down and stood in the bottom and said this, send your champion. There's no sense in everybody dying. You send your champion down here. We fight. Let the champions fight, and whoever wins, that'll be the winner. Let's not just kill a lot of useless. Let's not do a lot of useless killing. Let's let champions do this thing. You need to understand something. Champions always run. But then the Bible says this. The Bible says, in verse 4, it says, a certain champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Then it goes into all these stories talking about how big Goliath was, how strong Goliath was, and all the clothes that Goliath wore and all the weapons that he had. He was a bad dude. You did not want to go up against him, and most people wouldn't go up against him. And I understand this. Every one of you have a Goliath in your life. That's what you're facing. That's what you're going there. There is an issue. There is an enemy in your situation. What you're facing right now, I know it's hard and tough and it's big and it's strong. And I tell you, you won't get through it unless you run. If you don't get the spirit of running, I'm saying when you run, you can go through things you never thought you could go through. You might can tear out of a paper bag walking and sitting still, but you're never going to get out of a cage. You're never going to get out of a prison. You need to run. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that Goliath went down there with all of his garb and all of his things on. And it says this. It said, all the children of Israel stood up top and they would see him. And it says they were afraid. You need to write this down in your Bible, tattoo this on your arm, or write it in something that you won't forget. You're either going to move with the movers or you will stay shaking with the shakers. You've got to decide, I'm going to move. Because if I don't make a move, I'm going to shake. And fear, I've told you, is a prophetic voice. And if you listen to fear, fear will paralyze you. Fear will keep you where you're at, but fear will speak to you your expected end. Just as the Bible and the Word of God is a prophetic voice. God will tell you what your end will be if you will believe God. But if you believe fear, fear will tell you what your end result will be. And if you choose to believe fear over what you choose to believe to be the Word of God, then what's going to happen is you will shake with the shakers and it will be the end of you. You will never accomplish your destiny. Now the Bible says this. The Bible says that David came up to these guys. And when he came up, the Bible says this. The Bible says that David's dad, he was keeping the sheep, and David's dad sent him there. He wasn't even a soldier yet. He was just a little ruddy boy. Sent him to the battlefield to give his brother some cheese and some bread. And when he got there, he looked down, and he saw this giant down there. And when he saw the giant down there, he saw an opportunity. You need to understand something. Runners look for opportunities. They look for opportunities. Chris, I don't know where Chris is. He was here. He probably had to go to work. But Chris is a runner. And he's a physical runner. He gets up and runs out. Jennifer is a runner. I don't understand physical running people because it hurts me. My knees, I've just gotten to that age now where my knees hurt and my side hurts and my back hurts when I run. And so I'm talking, but runners understand. They look for opportunities. Jennifer will surf the internet looking for a 5K. I'm like, what in the world? They look for opportunities to go run. Chris, his social network is connected with people that go running every day. And he's looking for running groups. Can you believe they got running groups? Groups in this town that gather together and go running every day, run 4 or 5 miles there. That's crazy sounding. And see, when I'm telling some people in here this morning that God's calling you and willing to give you a spirit of running on your life for you to accomplish and go through it, you think, well, that's crazy. I'm not going to do no more than what I'm doing. That's fine. Then you're never going to have more than what you have. You're never going to go any farther than where you're at. Because God is looking for runners, and I'm going to show you in just a second. But the Bible said this. The Bible said David got there and he saw an opportunity. Runners see opportunities. You want to accomplish the destiny of God in your life, you walk into these doors and you start looking for something that needs to be done. You start looking for somebody that needs a smile or a hug. You start going to Walmart and you're looking for somebody you can put your hand on and pray for. You go to work and start looking for an opportunity to help out your boss or to better the company. Runners look for opportunities. And the Bible says David saw an opportunity. And what he saw, everybody else thought was crazy. Because his brothers were sitting up there saying, man, that dude is way too big and way too strong. Even those that were the most physically gifted to fight that battle down there, the Bible said this. The Bible said Saul was heads taller than anyone else. And he had armor that was obviously very impressive. Because when David went to fight the giant, Saul wanted him to wear his impressive armor. You got to be careful when you start running because you'll find people wanting to put their name on what you're doing. But you don't got to worry. It won't fit. It won't fit. But the Bible says that David, when he saw the opportunity, this is what he said. He said, there's a giant, and that's wrong. But what will I get if I kill him? That's what it says. What will I get if I kill him? Here in the verse 26, it says, surely he has come out to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, and the king will enrich with great riches, and will give him his daughter. And give his father house exemption from taxes. Now you got to understand this. One, the Bible says you'll get rich. He'll get rich. Two, he's going to get the hottest girl in town because it was the princess. And then three, he didn't have to pay any taxes. His house was going to be debt free. Man, isn't that a good promise? I want you to know something. You need to understand this very clearly. The promises of God always, always bring about those things in your life. The promises of God in your life says this, I want you to be prosperous and blessed to a point you can bless others. I want you to, when you fulfill your destiny, I've never met anybody that didn't fulfill their destiny, that didn't end up being rich. Met a lot of people that wanted to be rich, but wasn't going after their destiny, so they never became rich. I've met a lot of rich people. Jesse Duplantis is one of the richest men I've ever met, and I worked for him for years. Do you know why he was rich? Because he ran after his destiny. You want to be rich? Run after what God's called. God didn't call you to be rich. God called you to do something for Him. And if you'll do something for Him, God will make you rich. Number two, There's so many people that won't do what God's called them or don't want to run after their destiny because they feel like they're lacking something. I know single people are just waiting for God to bring the right one in. I know married people are waiting for God to change their husband or their wives. Or I want you to know something. Start running. And when you run, the prize for running is you get that mate. God will move with compassion and change your mate. Now, say, if you feel like you're lacking or missing something, if your children aren't certain, well, you need to start running. When you run, it changes the family dynamics that you've been believing God for. It fulfills you. It completes you. I tell you, I love to see you two sitting in church right there. Because I saw Ann come in church first, running after God. And then I saw Lawrence come in and start going to church with her. And as they ran toward God, now I got to marry them just a few weeks ago. I'm telling you, when you run after God, He fulfills you. It's a promise in the Bible. And then it said this, all your bills will be paid. That's what that promise was for David. Your bills were paid. Your dad, the only bill they had back then was the taxes. Everything else they could grow or raise, but they had to pay taxes. And the Bible says this, it says their house would be tax-free. How would you love to be debt-free? What could you do with being debt-free? Let me ask you, what would you do if you were debt-free? I'll tell you this, if you don't start running, then you would be doing the same thing you're doing now if you were debt-free tomorrow. Statistics say this, that 10% of the world owns 90% of the money right now. They say if you take all the money in the world and equally distributed it to everyone on the planet, within 5 years, the 10% that have the money would have it again within 5 years. Why? Why? Because unless something in you changes, you'll do exactly what you've always done. That's why so many people that win the lottery, if you're waiting to get rich on the lottery, you watch the lottery things where it says, you know, like 80% of them that win the lottery are bankrupt within 5 years. Don't change. If you don't change the way you do things, if you don't change the way you pursue God, if you don't change what your dreams and desires are, if you don't change the passions in your life, the Bible says, set your affections on things that are above. If you cannot get the spirit of running after God in your life, nothing in your life is going to change. But the promise, he said, what do I get? And they told him what he got. And then this is what it said. Joe, we'll skip by it. And they said, this is what will be done for the man. Somebody needs to grab hold to this on verse 27. The people answered to him, I'm standing here answering this for you. God, what do I get if I pursue you with all my heart? What? Just imagine. I mean, you don't know how many times I pray before a service. God, please let somebody grab just one thing and walk out of here and make the decision that they're going to live that one thing that you gave me. And the Lord gave me this day that somebody needs to grab a hold of the spirit of running. And if they would run, God would change everything. What would happen if you walked out of here today and decided for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to passionately run after God harder than I have ever ran after God before? What would take place in those next 6 weeks? Well, Joseph, if you don't do it, you'll never know. He said this. He said, in verse 27, it said, what shall be? And he said, the people said to him, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. You start running after God and what you're going through, and you're going to run right through what's standing in your way. I'm telling you the truth. This is what it says. It says, he drew near to the Philistine. And then in verse 48, Joe, go there. And we're going to close. Verse 48. It says, it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. Look at that. The enemy came to come and get him. What did David do? That David hurried and David ran toward the army and met the Philistine. His destiny was not released until he decided to run down the valley. One translation says he got up and he ran down the valley. Now, you got to understand something about running. Sometimes when you run after God, it feels like you're taking a step back. David had to run down the valley. They were encamped up on both hills. He had to run down. You got to understand what he was looking at when he got there. The way it breaks down in the story, and you can read on through, it talks about what Goliath was wearing. You know, most of what he was wearing was reflective. Silver and all these metal. But a lot of us don't run because we're afraid if we get down there to fight the devil, we're going to have to look at who we are and have to change some things about us. I want you to know something. If you'll be willing to let God change some things in your life, there ain't no giant that can stand in your way, no matter how big. The biggest issue I believe David had to battle walking down that hill was fear, because I believe the shadow cast by that giant was a lot bigger than the shadow that he cast. And he knew, if God don't show up here, I'm not going to be able to accomplish this thing. But he decided this, unless I run, I'll never find out. Unless you run, you'll never know. We preached a few Wednesday nights ago, the other day, about the Bible says that you can either live in comfort or you can live in courage. and you're going to have to make the decision that you're going to live in courage, because if you stay in comfort, you're going to miss all out what God has for you. The Bible says Saul had a sword and he sat under a tree. It said Jonathan had a sword and he saw the Philistines and he said, "Let me go down there for maybe, maybe God will give me a victory." I tell you, there's something that you've been looking at wanting to do for a long period of time and you hadn't done it because you're afraid. You need to get up and you need to start running. There's some of us that are afraid that if we actually tithe, if we write a tithe check, I'm not going to have enough money to pay my bills. Some of you need to start running. Some of you need to start saying, you know what, maybe if I witness to this person. Well, a lot of us don't witness because they know who we are. I understand that. Look dread at that armor that giant's wearing and say, you know what? It don't matter what I am, but I do know what God is changing me to be, and I want you to know who God is. You keep. Some of us don't witness because we're so afraid that we won't take the step to run. If you'll run, I'm telling you, I'm going to show you that. But the Bible says this, when he ran, this is what he said. "You come against me with a sword and a shield. I come against you with the name of the Lord. I'm going to carry the name of the Lord as fast as I can everywhere I go against whatever I have to carry." And the Bible says the Lord anointed him and he killed that giant that day. Look here real close. In Genesis, you don't got to go there, but Genesis 18:2. The Bible says Abraham was sitting at a tent in the heat of the day. And the Bible says he looked up and he saw in a distance. He saw the presence of the Lord coming. And the Bible says he jumped up and he ran from his tent to the presence. Some of us need to run from our sin. I'm telling you, I believe the Holy Spirit's calling somebody in here this morning that's not right with the Lord. And in a few minutes, you're going to get an opportunity to run to the altar and allow God to change those things. You're going to need to run from some things and get to God and allow God. Because when he ran to the Lord, the Bible said this, he quickly served the Lord a meal. And the Bible says God gave him a promise that he would have a child, even though he was 100 years old. Your promise is being held up because you haven't made a move toward God quickly in a long time. It's time for some of us to make a move toward God quickly. Now look what it says here. The Bible says in Luke 15, the minute the son started coming home, the father started watching. And the minute he saw him, he started running to him. God will meet you where you're at. But this is where we need to go. Isaiah 40:31, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." That's not meaning sit in your seat and wait today. What this means is this: you get ready and expect God to do something for you. And what is God going to do? This is what we're trying to get to. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, Joe, bring this up. This is what we've talked everything else about this morning. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. I don't know if you got anything out of this, but I'm telling you this. The Lord told me this. If someone would get the desire in their heart this morning to run, I don't know if you've been moved back into doing what you've always done like the disciples did, and you need to run to where God is this morning for God to change you, that will happen in your life today. I don't know if you've been living with sin in your life and you know that you can't accomplish the destiny of God with this. It's a sin that so easily besets you, and you need to be like Joseph. And when next time that hand goes on your shoulder, you need to take off running, but you say, "Cricket, I don't got the power to do that." God will give you the power to run today if you will allow him. You may be here this morning and you say, "Cricket, I've got so much offense in my life." You need to run from your offense and run to God and give it to him on the altar. I don't know if you're here this morning and you want to go towards your destiny and you've been so afraid to do the things that you know God has for you because you're afraid you're going to fail. You don't think you're big enough. You don't think you matter. You need to make a decision. I'm going to run and I'm going to encounter what God has for me today by standing up and going after it. This is what the Bible says he will do. It says, "Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah." I want to go to a different translation. Go to King James. "And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah and girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to enter." Go to the NIV. "And the power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jerusalem." Now you need to understand this. For years, I ran after God, thinking it was enough. But I found out what I do in my own effort will come to a point where I can't do it anymore. I will run out of steam. I will run out of breath. I will run out of energy. I will run out of desire. And I will find myself in a place that I never thought a low that I would be. But the Bible gives me this promise. The Bible says that if I will depend on Him, that He can put His hand on my life, the King James says. The NIV says this, He will release a power in my life that will allow me to run. That scripture in Isaiah where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as eagles. They will walk and not grow weary. They will run and not faint. This is the power that God's talking about. I don't know what you came here for this morning. Hopefully you came to worship the Lord. Because the greatest reason you can come to church for. I don't know what shape you came to church in this morning. But I know this. I came in here burnt out in some areas in my life. I came in here tired in some areas in my life. But when I got here, I made the decision. When I was coming here, I made the decision. I'm not going to leave here the same as I came. The law of worship is this. If you come in the south gate, you leave the north gate. If you come in the north gate, you leave the south gate. I made the decision that I'm going to come in this morning because I know this. I need to walk and not grow weary, and I need to run and not faint because God has destined me for great things. God has great plans in store for me, and God is wanting me to use me to change the world around me. And I've made this decision that I can't do it without the hand of the Lord in my life. I have tried to do it in the past without it. I've tried to run, and I've gotten tired. And I'm telling you, the Lord told me this morning, coming ready, getting ready for service, that He was going to put a power of the Spirit here today that would come upon people that desired it, that wanted it, that knew they needed it, and would place a demand upon it to equip them with the ability to run through things that they weren't able to run through before. Does anybody in here this morning need to run through something that you've not been able to run through up to this point? You've not been able to get free. You've not been able to get loose. You've been exhausted. You've been tired. You've been worn out. Do you need the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of run in your life? Because the Bible says this, the Lord gave it to Elijah, He can give it to you.